For many days, without wind in her shrouds or foam at her bows, across a waveless sea, the Dawn Treader glided smoothly east. Every day and every hour, the light became more brilliant, and still they could bear it. No one ate or slept, and no one wanted to. But they drew buckets of dazzling water from the sea, stronger than wine, and somehow wetter, more liquid than ordinary water. And one or two of the sailors who'd been oldish men when the voyage began now grew younger every day. Everyone on board was filled with joy and excitement, but not an excitement that made one talk. The further they sailed, the less they spoke. And then, almost in a whisper, the stillness of that last sea laid hold on them.
My Lord Drinian, what do you see ahead?
Sire, I see whiteness all along the horizon from north to south, as far as my eyes can reach.
That's what I see too, and I cannot imagine what it is.
If we were in higher latitudes, Your Majesty, I would say it was ice. But it can't be that. Not here. All the same, we'd better get men to the oars and hold the ship back against the current. Whatever that stuff is, we don't want to crash into it at this speed.
They did as Drinian said, and so continued to go slower and slower. The whiteness did not get any less mysterious as they approached it. If it was land, it must be a very strange land, for it seemed just as smooth as the water and on the same level with it. When they got very close to it, Drinian put the helm hard over and turned the Dawn Treader south so that she was broadside onto the current and rowed a little way southward along the edge of the whiteness. In so doing, they accidentally discovered that the current was only about 40 feet wide and the rest of the sea as still as a pond. This was good news for the crew, who had already begun to think that the return journey to Romandu's land, rowing against stream all the way, would be pretty poor sport. And still, no one could make out what the white stuff was. Then the landing boat was lowered and it put off to investigate with Reinulf in charge. Those who remained on the Dawn Treader could see that the boat pushed right in amidst the whiteness. Then they could hear the voices of the party in the boat, clear and still across the water, talking in a shrill and surprised way. Then there was a pause while Reinulf, in the bows of the boat, took a sounding. And when, after that, the boat came rowing back, there seemed to be plenty of the white stuff inside of her. Everyone crowded to the side of the ship to hear the news.
Lilies, Your Majesty!
What did you say?
Her blooming lilies, Your Majesty. You know, same as in a pool in a garden at home.
What's the depth, Reinulf?
Well, that's the funny thing, Captain. It's still deep. 3.5 fathoms clear.
They can't be lilies at that depth. Not what we call lilies. But look at them, Eustace. They are.
Or very like them.
So, Drinian, shall we let a sea full of flowers stop us from going ahead?
No, Your Majesty. I think we should turn back into the current and carry on eastward.
There seemed to be no end to the lilies. The whiteness spread round them on every side, except just astern, where their passage had thrust the lilies apart and left an open lane of water that shone like dark green glass. Several days later, the water became shallower.
Sire, we're going to have to stop now or risk going aground.
Lower the landing boat and then call the men aft. I must speak to them.
Sire.
What's he going to do? There's a strange look in his eyes.
I think we probably all look like that.
All hands on deck!
They joined Caspian on the deck, and soon all the men were crowded together at the foot of the ladder to hear the king's speech.
Friends, we have now fulfilled the quest on which you embarked. The seven lords are all accounted for, and as Sir Reepicheep has sworn never to return, When you reach Ramandu's land, you will doubtless find the Lords Revillian and Argos and Mavramorn awake. To you, my Lord Drinian, I entrust this ship, bidding you sail to Narnia with all the speed you may, and above all, not to land at the island of Deathwater. Instruct my regent, the dwarf Trumpkin, to give to all these my shipmates the rewards I promised them. And if I come not again, it is my will that the regent and Master Cornelius and Truffle Hunter the Badger and the Lord Drinian choose a king of Narnia with the consent...
But, sire, are you abdicating?
I am going with Reepy Cheep to see the world's end.
No, sire.
We will take the landing boat. You will have no need of it in these gentle seas, and you must build a new one in Ramandu's island. And now...
Caspian, you can't!
Most certainly, His Majesty cannot.
No, indeed.
Can't?
Well, begging your Majesty's pardon, but if one of us sailors did the same, it would be called deserting.
You presume too much on your long service, Renault.
No, sire. He's perfectly right.
By the mane of Aslan, I had thought you were all my subjects here, not my schoolmasters.
I am not your subject, and I say you cannot do this.
Can't. Again, what do you mean?
If it please, your Majesty, we mean shall not. You are the king of Narnia. You break faith with all your subjects, and especially with Trumpkin, if you do not return. You shall not please yourself with adventures as if you were a private person. And if your Majesty will not hear reason, it will be the truest loyalty of every man on board to follow me in disarming and binding you till you come to your senses.
Quite right. And you promised Ramandu's daughter you would go back.
Well, yes, there is that. Oh, we'll have it your way. The quest is ended. We all return. Get the boat up again.
Sire, we do not all return. I, as I explained before...
Silence! I've been lessoned, but I'll not be baited. Will no one silence that mouse?
Your Majesty promised to be good lord to the talking beasts of Narnia.
Talking beasts, yes, but I said nothing about beasts that never stop talking. Oh, I've had enough of this. Ah!
What on earth was that all about? We'll give him time to cool down, and then we'll go find out.
It's no good. I might as well have behaved decently for all the good I did with my temper and swagger. Aslan has spoken to me.
Aslan?
No, I don't mean he was actually here. Oh. He wouldn't fit into the cabin, for one thing. But that gold lion's head on the wall came to life and spoke to me. It was terrible. His eyes. Well, not that he was at all rough with me, only a bit stern at first. But it was terrible all the same. And he said, oh, I can't bear it. The worst thing he could have said. Mm-hmm. You're to go on. Reepy Cheep, Edmund, Lucy, and Eustace. And I'm to go back, alone, and at once. And what is the good of anything?
Sigh.
Oh, Caspian, you knew we'd have to go back to our own world sooner or later.
Yes, but this is sooner.
You'll feel better when you get back to Ramandu's land.
Perhaps I will. But don't you see? This is goodbye. I must turn the ship around immediately, which means you must get on the landing boat and go. Now.
Then let us say our goodbyes here.
Yes.
In the privacy of this cabin. And not dwell on them any more than that.